Good morning. I'm John Grievous from Reformed Baptist Church of Louisville. And I gave my testimony this morning, and just to tell you that the church is thriving, even though we have trials and tribulations, but they're still pressing on in the faith. I thank Brother Bernard for pronouncing my name right, because he was asking me how to pronounce it, but he did it right. Most time people get that wrong, but, you know, some people call me Grievous, which means that I'm grievous, you know what I mean, like a grievance, and thank you for that. This morning I want to share with you out of Psalm 92. Psalm 92, this is an excellent psalm, and we just want to look this morning at aging to the glory of God. Aging to the glory of God. We'll begin reading at verse 12. The psalmist says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." I'm reading out of the New King James. And he says that those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness with him. Let's ask God to help us this morning. Father, we ask you to open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your glorious law. And Father, we pray that you will use these scriptures to, by your Spirit, build us up into faith and give us spiritual energy to press on into the kingdom of God. Father, we ask it in the name of your holy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a blessed psalm. If you're an older person this morning, you say, what is older? It just depends on how young somebody is, younger than you, then you're older. But we all will grow old as we live life on this earth. And I like this psalm because it has great promises for those who are growing older in age, because he says they will be fresh and they will be flourishing. Then when he says they will be fresh, he's saying that they will be full of oil, they'll be full of sap, they will be fat and prosperous. And then flourishing means they will be green and full of life. And when he's talking about full of life, he's talking about as you grow older, if you belong to the Lord, God will see to it that you are full of spiritual life and you're full of zeal. And then he says, the reason why this will happen to you is so that you can go out in this world and to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So in this day and time that we're living in, we live in a day of great pride and vanity and a day of great self-esteem and self-worth. You know, Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:1, he said, men will be lovers of themselves in the times that we live in. One of the greatest fears of multitudes today is growing old. It's a paradox because we want to live longer, but we don't want to grow old. You know, it's similar to the phrase, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. And in reality, in the Word of God, it tells us one is not possible without the other. In other words, if you're going to live in this sin-cursed world, you will have to one day grow old. We do not live on the new heaven or the new earth yet. In fact, facts prove that the longer you live, the older you're going to get. So you might say you want to go to heaven and be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the only way you can go to heaven and be with the Lord Jesus Christ is to die. That's how you can be with Christ. For the man or the woman in Christ, death is the gateway to heaven. The Apostle Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. Paul says, we are always confident knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Then he says in verse 7, he says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, we are confident, yet well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. It's a sad thing in the time we live in that old age is scorned, it's despised, it's disrespected, old age is rejected. I mean, the world fights fiercely against trying to find a cure for old age. Ever since I was become 50 years old, I'm going to tell you, if you're here in Sunday school, you know how old I am. So you wasn't here, so you don't know how old I am. Since I've become 50, I have got so many miracle pills and miracle drugs that will give you the fountain of youth and all these kind of things. And sometimes the aches and pains I have in my body, I said, they don't make a medicine that can help what's going on here in my body. But youth is celebrated in this world. It's relied upon for wisdom. It's sought after. It's exalted. It's pursued. People long after youth. And this is why they do it. Is because the carnal mind only looks at the physical effects of aging. The carnal mind, what it does is it gauges life by the outward appearances. In biblical times, old age was honored. Leviticus 19:32. And this is what the Lord thinks about old age. Leviticus 19:32, he says, you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. He said, for I am the Lord. That's God's opinion of old age. Proverbs 16:31, he says, the silver-haired head is a crown of glory and is conditional, because he goes on to say in this proverb, he says, if it is found in the way of righteousness. Now, what I can say about that this morning, this world is full of unbelieving, silver-headed fools because they're still trying to be young. But brethren, as we grow older, it's okay to be wise. Take care of the temple of God. Your body is a temple of God. You need to exercise. You need to rest. You need to have a good diet and all these things. But there is absolutely no way at all that you can get out of aging or death. And the only way you're going to get out of death and stay young is that promised glorified body in Philippians 3:21, where he will change our vile body so that it be likened unto his glorious body. There's a lot of changes that happen in the body as you grow old, and it happens in the mind also. And you should understand this morning. All of it is a result of the sin of Adam. They are simply results of the curse of Adam's sin. And not only did our bodies get cursed, but the whole creation is cursed. Romans chapter 8 says the creation groans, waiting for the redemption, the manifestation of the sons of God. It got cursed too. And so, you know, this is something that's going to happen. But the thing I want to get over to you this morning is that you can age to the glory of God. You know, you can still be praising him when you get older and older. Psalm 102:25, he says, of old, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands, and they will perish, but you will endure. And this is what he says about the heavens. He says, yes, and they will grow old like a garment, talking about the heavens and the earth. He said, but like a cloak, you will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and you have no end. So, everything is decaying. Everything is dying. You know, I hear him talking about global warming. I just laugh. People say, what's your opinion on global warming? 2 Peter 3. It's going to be some global warming. But God's going to warm it. And he's the one that's going to do it, because man is so proud that he thinks he can destroy this earth. That's atheism. He's not going to do it. You know, they talk about weather, and I'm not saying some of these things they should have a concern about, but if you read the Word of God, it talks about how God controls the weather patterns and things like it. He tells the lightnings to come and to go and things like this. I believe what the Word of God says. And they miss these weather reports all the time, thinking that they know all about the earth and what's going to happen in the future. But as we grow old, simply from the result of the sin of Adam, we're going to see things happen in our life that you never thought would happen. You're going to lose relatives. You're going to lose friends to death and illness and all kind of tragedies that happen in this world. Because this is a cursed world, it's totally unavoidable that you see these things during your lifetime. And Job said in Job 14:1, he said, man who is born of woman said his days are evil and full of trouble. Anybody that's older can tell you that. You can look at your obituaries, and they testify that life is just simply a process of aging and decay, and that aging is a steady process of dying within us. Every moment that we're alive, we're growing older and we're dying. A newborn baby, after conception, immediately begins to grow, and it immediately begins to develop. And to go along with all that, it immediately begins to die. You would look at a baby and you say, you couldn't think that this baby's dying, but it is. because it comes into this world under the curse of Adam's sin. So my question today is, how should we look at and cope with aging? Because we're going to face it regardless of what you think about this. And Christians, their view of aging should be totally different from society's view of aging. The believer in Christ, his view of aging should be totally different. And what we need to do as Christians, we need to put a value on aging to the glory of God. Society as a whole has a great fear of growing old to the point of fanaticism and denying reality. Like our brother's talking about, he's going to the nursing home today. It can really be depressing going to a nursing home. It can be depressing going to a funeral home. But I want you to know this morning, they are both stark realities of the sin of Adam. And guess what? If the Lord doesn't come back, we'll be going to one or the other. You know, people go to funerals and stuff, and people say, well, you know, I don't let my kids go to funerals because I just don't want them to see all that stuff and know all that stuff. You need to let your kids know what reality is all about. People die all the time. And you don't have to be a certain age to die. You don't have to be old to die. The graveyard is full of young people. The graveyard is full of all kind of ages. But it's not because of their age and things like that. It's because of the curse of Adam's sin. And that's why man is dying. Well, one man talks about funerals and he says, death is the last taboo to be in the Western culture. In other words, that's the last thing people want to talk about anymore. He goes on to say, people don't attend funerals anymore. Instead, they have celebrations of life. And what he says is, he says, and when they do talk about death, he says it's to make light of it by styrofoam tombstones in somebody's front yard on Hallows. He calls it Hallows Eve, but I think he's talking about Halloween. And he's talking about movies of The Walking Dead and zombies and how the world makes fun of all these things about death. But when people die anymore, they no longer mourn for people that die, but they celebrate their lives. You say, well, what are they celebrating? Here's what they're celebrating. They're celebrating that they got the best out of life. Oh, man, they really lived it up. You know, if he'd been here today, he would tell us don't mourn for him and things like that. You know, he had a good life and he spent his time well on this earth, whether he went to hell or not. And you know what the word of God says? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul? That's the foolishness that you see in this world today, the way they look at death. I want you to listen to what Abraham says to the rich man in Lazarus, the parable about Lazarus and the rich man in Luke chapter 16, because this doesn't sound like a celebration of life to me. In Luke 16, 24, and I'll just pick it up here. I'm not going to read the whole thing. The rich man's in torments and he cries for mercy for Father Abraham. And this is what the rich man says. He says, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water to cool my tongue because he was tormented in this flame. And Abraham tells this man something. He says, in your lifetime, you receive good things. See, the rich man, he fared sumptuously every day. The rich man got the very, very best out of life. And man, did he love life. Man, he celebrated his life. He got to do everything he wanted to. If I could say it this morning, he filled out his bucket list. He got to do it all. You know what he tells him here? He said, you had all these rich things in your life. You had it made. And this is what, if they was at a funeral today, they would talk about it and celebrate for what a great life he had. He said, but Lazarus received evil things. You say, what does that mean right there? Number one, Lazarus was rich toward God. Lazarus didn't chase after the riches of this world. Lazarus didn't think all life was having fun and things like this. Lazarus faced reality and he says, now you are tormented. And, you know, he's sitting in Abraham's bosom at this time. So this is the most serious matter. And, you know, Psalm 73, you know, the psalmist was tore up about the prosperity of the wicked because he didn't understand how the wicked prosper. It looks like that they have no pains in their death and things like this. But society does all it can do to take the sting out of death. And only believing on the Lord Jesus Christ will you ever take the sting out of death. That's the only way. They don't have nothing on this earth can take the sting out of death. And as we sit here today, we may look good and sound good and do everything, but we're slowly decaying in death. And you know, we're appointed to die, as I'll read a scripture shortly. But what it is that you're seeing in society today is atheism, because they refuse to face the reality of death. And that's because they refuse to accept the biblical perception of death. You know, a new generation has their faith and hope in out-of-the-body experiences, this new age mysticism. And one thing about it, they can do all the things they want to, but you can't keep death out of sight and out of mind. It's going on every day, all the time. People are going to the graveyard. Reality says the moment we're born to this world, we have an appointment with death. You said that sounds gooey this morning. Listen, let me tell you, death is a blessed thing for a Christian. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints. Now, I'm just believing the word of God, you know. And most people think, well, you know, the longer I stay here, the more successful life I had. The most successful life that you can have is that you die and you're in the arms of Jesus Christ. And he sends his angels to bring you up into heaven. That's the most successful life that you can have on this earth. And society has lost this reality of death. Hebrews 9:27 says, we have an appointment with death and judgment. He says, and as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this, the judgment. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:22, he says, in Adam all die, even so in Christ all will be made alive. And you can be talking about spiritual death and physical death, or you can be talking about spiritual resurrection and physical resurrection there. So, if you're older this morning, we're going to get to the good side of this message. But if you're older this morning and you're in the faith, don't follow the world's thinking or philosophy about age and death. Face reality and be spiritually prepared for it. There's always this little fear of death. Even the greatest Christians still have a little fear of death. You know, I haven't seen on the other side and everything. So what I do in my prayer life and stuff is I said, Lord, make me ready for when it happens. I do not want to go out here afraid to go to the other side. Give me the strength and grace to believe what your word says about death and have me ready to go. Have my feet rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ, that I won't be afraid to die. And, you know, they can give you all the supplements in the world. They can get you everything that you can have on this earth. They can give you the best diet in the world. You can have all the athletic trainers you want, but you will not stop death. You can't stop it. And that's what people need to know. But the common goal among the aged people, this man says this, he says, the aged are trying to stay young. They want to be perpetual teenagers. And he says that the aged try to look as young as possible, dressing like teenagers and trying to camouflage their age. Now, sometimes you can go to the Walmart and it's a circus. And I want to tell some of these women, you can't put a 12 and a 2. It doesn't fit. You understand what I'm saying? It looks more ridiculous trying to do it than if you just put on regular clothes and just come into the Walmart and everything. I tell my wife about that, and she laughs about it all the time. And I said, I'm going to the Walmart today because there's going to be a show at the Walmart today when I go into the Walmart. But it's just people trying to do something about age. You know what I mean? You got to do something about it. You got to stop this. You can't. Now, you keep yourself in good shape. I'm not saying you can't do these things, but the aged should be teaching. They should be setting the example for the youth and not vice versa. Yeah. And remember, immaturity comes with youth. They need to learn. They need to be guided in life by the aged, because the word of God says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And I know that from my own experience from being a child. Proverbs 1:8, Solomon tells his son, he says, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. And here's the great benefit of listening to your mother and your father, which a lot of kids in the world don't do no more. And you look at TV, and you know what they do on TV? They make the husband look like a doofus, and the children's telling both of them what to do. Me and my wife, we'd been in jail. That wasn't going to happen. But see, I came up in that old generation. You know, a lot of people that grew up in my generation, they'd be in jail right now because they did not put up with that with kids. And so they got the kids running the house. And you know, it's a scripture in Proverbs that says that the women rule and the kids do something. He said, and the men love to have it so. So you look at these things on TV and look at the biblical order of things, and the woman's telling the man what to do and the children are telling them what to do. It's completely opposite of the word of God. That is not God's will. And kids need to know that. But here's what he says. He says, this would be great benefit, listen to your mother and father. He says, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head, and they will be chains around your neck. And all he's saying here is, if you listen to your mother and father, that'll be a precious treasure for the rest of your life, because you took advice from somebody that had wisdom and experience and knowledge in this life. According to God's word, wisdom comes with the gray hair. It's, like I said, if it's found on a righteous head. And the word of God has a lot of good things to say about those who are aged. Now, what I want to do now is I want to look at some of these promises in Psalms 92. I just wanted to get you stirred up this morning to tell you, show you that it's not bad being old. I told my wife, I said, I kind of like it. Everything's free. And, you know, people just, it's not bad. You get discounts everywhere when you get old and stuff. I said, I didn't know it was this cheap to live in life, you know. I should have got older sooner than I was, you know. And there's a lot of benefits to being old, even physically, in this life, you know. And people say, oh, I don't want to get older. But the older I get, the more I see my need of the Lord, and the more I see my need of his word, and I know that I'm closer to heaven. And that's what matters to me. So let's look at four things. We have four promises. It won't take me long to get through them. And they're not in any kind of order. I want to give these promises to you today if you're an older person in the house of God. This is a promise of God, because these are great promises for older people. Psalm 92:13, he says, the righteous are planted in the house of the Lord. What a great scripture. You plant something. If God planted something, nobody else is going to pull it up. It's not going to be pulled up. And when did this planting take place? It took place when you were regenerated by the Spirit of God. You know, we're planted in the house of the Lord the very day that we were born again by the Spirit of God. And the reason why I say that is because in the New Testament, the house of God would be the people of God. You know, it's no more temples and things like that. We are living stones making up a building. That's what the New Testament church is. And he says he will plant you in the house of God. He's just saying that he will plant you right in the midst of the people of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? You are the house of God. God dwells in you by his Holy Spirit. Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. That's the family of God. And then Paul tells the Ephesians what took place at their conversion and regeneration in Ephesians 2:19. He says, now you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. I heard this song years ago, and I think they still sing this. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. That is the best house you can live in on this earth. There's the safest house you can live in on this earth. That should be the only house you want to live in on this earth. And then he says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. This sitting here this morning, you know what this is? The holy temple of the Lord. Not the building, the people. The living stones make up this temple of the Lord. He said, in whom you're also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. First Peter says, and you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So when God saved us, we became a part of his family. He adopted us into his family. And he gave us all the rights and privileges of a child of God. And when you get saved, God plants you in the midst of his people with great benefits until you finally end up in heaven. But you have great benefits here on this earth. And to be planted in his house means that you are his child, you belong to his family, And here's the good thing about God planting you. When you plant a tree of any type, you got to water it. You got to nurture it. You got to care for it. You got to watch over it. When God plants you in his house, he's the one that takes care of you, and he's the one that makes sure you grow and you flourish and that you bear fruit. You are precious to God. You said, but I'm old and I, what good am I? You're precious to God. We'll talk about that in a minute. And in the end, he's going to present us to himself, a church without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. And then Isaiah's prophecy, Isaiah 61:3. He's going to console those who are mourning in Zion. And the reason why he's doing this is a prophecy about our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says this, he's going to give them the beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness. And I like this right here. The planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. You say, what am I sitting here today for? To glorify God. That's why you're in the house of God. Second thing about the righteous, they shall flourish like a palm tree. Psalm 92:12. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. In other words, he shall flourish in the courts of our God. One of the ways that you flourish in the house of God is that you grow in grace. How do you grow in grace? You blossom, you spread forth, you thrive, you develop, you have vigor, you age in the Lord. If you've been a Christian, I'm going to say over 10 years, you should have grown a lot in the Lord. You should have grown in the fruits of the Spirit. And I'm going to say something about old people later, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but when you get old, you shouldn't grow grouchy and cynical. You should grow sweet, nice, and kind. You know, old people are known for being mean, No, not Christian old people. They flourish in the Lord. They grow in the Lord. And they should be some of the sweetest people on this earth because we develop with vigor, we age in the Lord, and we age in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we grow, guess what? We grow in our love and our likeness to Christ. And we should flourish in his holy word. And one of the things that you should really flourish in is love for the people of God. Amen. It's amazing Christians don't like each other. That's one of the craziest things I've ever seen, that Christians don't like each other. And see, you don't know whether you really like somebody until they cross you. And then that's why people say, well, I'm quitting the church. I'm going somewhere else. I just don't like them. That's not how the kingdom of God works. It's a word called forgiveness. It's a word called dying to yourself. It's a word called that you're not more important than everybody in the church. We'll say, yeah, I count myself as nothing and I humble myself before God and all these crazy things. All you got to do is let a problem come up and you'll see what people are really like. Y'all with me this morning? Because you'll see. But we should manifest continually the fruits of the Spirit of God in our old age. And God's people shouldn't get grouchy or grumpy. They shouldn't be mean. They shouldn't be angry. They should be some of the sweetest, most pleasant, and content, confident people on the earth. You should be rooted and grounded and settled in the faith. And you should look and sound more and more like Jesus Christ. That's the way you should grow. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. You read them sometimes and then look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, is that me? Y'all with me? Is that me? It's not the fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. That's all of it. That's what a Christian should look like. If the Holy Spirit's working in you, that's exactly what you should look like. And then number three, they shall bear fruit in old age. It sounds like the other one. He said they will be fresh and flourishing. In other words, they will be full of sap. Now, I believe that this passage right here speaks of usefulness in old age. Even though you're old and you're full of aches and pains and you don't have no energy, I know what all that feels about, and you're discomfortable, you don't have no comfort on a lot of things a lot of time, God promises You will be useful to him and his people. You will be a useful servant in the kingdom of God. You will serve God. You will serve his people. You will seek out the lost. You will be full of sap and flourishing in spiritual things. When you're full of sap and you're flourishing in spiritual things, you're active. It doesn't mean that you will be able to do everything that you used to do when you were younger, but you will still be active in spiritual things. And your love will not grow cold and old to God and to his people and to the spiritual things. I can say it this morning like this. You will not get tired of God. Too many people get tired of God. I mean, you know, I'm going, you should be getting tired of the things of this world. They just do the same things over and over again. There's nothing. I mean, it's just this roundabout continual evil all the time. I only get refreshment with God and God's people. I mean, you look at the world, you look at the news, you look at everything that's going on, and people get tired of God. Now, I'm tired of all the hate and everything that's in this world. I'm going, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Get me out of here. Because there's no hope. I remind you of the spirit of Caleb, and I'm not going to look at this today, but he was promised an inheritance in the land because when they went to take Ai, he and Joshua brought back a good report. And Caleb was asking Joshua, 45 years later, he says, and he's an old man then, he says, now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke of in that day. And what I've read that for is because he did not let his age hinder him from wholly following the Lord. Joshua says, I'm just as strong as I was that day. He stayed believing the promises of God. And then you got Hebrews 10:35. It says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, regardless of how old you are, you know, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And then Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but they saw them afar off and they embraced them. So you may be older and physically cannot do many things that you could do when you were younger. But let me say this morning. You can do something. You know, can you get somebody a cup of water? Jesus said, if you give somebody a cup of water in my name, you'll be rewarded for that. And God doesn't look at how much we do. He looks at the motive of why we do it. And you should do it out of a love for him and his people. And you don't grow too old to ever do that. Never too old. But if you can do something, even if it's just plain old intercession, praying for the church and the advancement of the kingdom of God. We read in Luke 2:36-37, it tells us about Anna the prophetess, who was of a great age. And then you read in verse 37, as you know, she's waiting for the coming of the Messiah. It said this woman was a widow of about 84 years. And listen to this, who did not depart from the temple. Why? Because her feet were planted in the house of God. Anna stayed there, and she was a widow of 84 years. And then it says here that she served God with fastings and prayers day and night. Did you realize you could serve God with fasting and prayers? That's what I'm saying. You could do something. You know, you may not be able to pick up something to haul something or take something somewhere else, but you can move your mouth and pray for people. That's something that you can do. People get older and say, well, it's just too hard to come to church and worship. It's just too long to sit through. And I just don't think I can do it no more. Yet and still, they go to movies. They watch TV. They travel. They go to sporting events. And you know what I would tell people like that? It's only one thing that's needful. And that's the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because it's the American mentality is that as you get old and you retire, you lay back and just enjoy this world. It's okay to enjoy the world. You know, I fish and do stuff like that. But that's not a priority over the kingdom of God. And it's not going to be a priority over the kingdom of God. Because there's only one thing is needful. And just like, you know, Jesus told Mary, he said, and Mary told Martha, he said, Mary has chosen that thing that is needful. As sitting at the feet of Jesus, being taught the word of God, fellowshipping with the people of God. But if you can flourish in carnal things, you can flourish in spiritual things. And God promises in this psalm that the righteous will flourish and they'll bear fruit in the old age. Now, you youth, you're not getting off this morning. I'm going to get on you a little bit. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says this. Remember your creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come. And what I would say this morning, while you are full of physical sap and energy, use it for the glory of God. Y'all with me? I didn't say you couldn't have fun and do things, but you weren't put on this earth just to have fun. Don't waste your sap on vanity. Because that's all the kids of the world do this day. Now, while you could ask some of these older people here, they look back in their Christian life and said, oh, I wish I would have did that, and I wish I would have served God better in that area, and I wish I would have did that, and I can't do it now because I can't move around and do the things that I used to do. Well, while you have your youth and while you've got plenty of energy and sap, use it for the glory of God. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Use your time, use your good health, your sharp mind for Christ and his cause and for his glory. Because what we do for Christ is the only thing that will last. And the last thing, perseverance. This is what an older person can say. God has kept me for all these years unto old age. 1 Peter 1:5, he says, I have been kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Here's what every old person should be able to say. God's enabling, preserving grace has brought me this far. And he will keep me until the end. I like what Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Rooted and grounded and settled in the faith, and his grace towards me was not in vain. So you can age to the glory of God. You know, and you can really age, and you can do great things for God. Isaiah 46:3, he says, listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld for me by birth. Did you say, when did God uphold me from birth? When you were born again by the Spirit of God. And then he says this, who have been carried from the womb, you know, until this day. He's talking about the womb of salvation. And then he says this, even to your old age, I am he, and even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, and even I will carry and deliver you. In other words, he's saying that you will persevere to old age because God will carry you. That's good news to me this morning. You know, that if I belong to God and I'm seeking it with my heart and things like that, and it's not based on my seeking, he has to give you strength to do all these things, he's going to carry me to the end. And you know, you read about these spiritual tragedies where people who have been faithful to God for years and years, and then they get older and turn into fools. You know why? Because they do not retain God in their knowledge. They start chasing the things of this world. They start trying to be young and this, that, and the other. Just be who God has made you. Most people in this world are not even satisfied with themselves. You know, I'm satisfied with myself. I don't want to go through being another person with what I've been through with myself in this life. Because I said, it's been hard enough working with this. I don't want to be something else. I don't want to. But just be who God's made you and bring glory to God from your life. And then I'm going to close down with this. This is the reason for it all. This is why God lets you get old. He says here in Psalm 92:15, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. In old age, we should be living memorials to show that God is faithful, that he is good to his people, and you need to declare it to this world. You need to tell the world how good God is and how good God has been to you. You know, the Lord is faithful. He's good to his people. And all those that put their trust in him, they shall not be confounded confused, or put to shame. God allows you to be old as a saint to declare his faithfulness, his power, his goodness, his righteousness to the whole world. And you know what? Do all that you do to the glory of God until you die. Don't take yourself out of the race because you're older. No, run a little harder. Run faster. You know, strive harder. You know, stay with the word of God. Because old age is a blessing in the Bible. And I don't care what this world says. You know, have you ever went on the internet and looked at some of the Hollywood stars before and after? Has anybody ever done that? They are awful looking after like 20 years. You know, because they get all this makeup. You know what I mean? They do all these makeovers and stuff like this. Age catches up. But you can age gracefully. You can age for the glory of God. And you can go tell this world, my God is good. My God is faithful. You need to come to the Savior. Look at how good he's been to me. Because that's what you call aging to the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that your church is triumphing throughout the world. And regardless of what it looks like to our physical eyes, we know, Lord, that the gates of hell will not prevail against your people wherever they are. Father, help us to age to the glory of your name. Lord, help us not to be ashamed of our age, but Lord, to proclaim your goodness and your grace and your mercy and your love. Father, for the children to sit here, those that are not saved, have mercy. Save their souls. Lord, use them in your kingdom. Lord, save them for the glory of your name. Father, we thank you that you give us this day to worship. And we pray that you will be glorified in your house throughout this whole world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.